When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Okay, so for this deep dive, we're going back to January 1984, Romania.
Vâlcea Stromba, specifically. Middle of winter.
Right, deep winter. Imagine this. It's freezing, snow everywhere, incredibly quiet.
That kind of silence that feels heavy, almost.
That's exactly. And you've got this hunter out there completely alone, his boots crunching in the snow is basically the only sound.
He's focused, right? Tracking game, looking for hoof prints, just doing his thing.
Pretty routine, you'd think. But then the quiet gets broken. Not by a noise, though. By someone being there.
Yeah, a presence. Ah. Suddenly there's this figure where there was nothing before.
Stark white against the gray trees in the snow. It's a woman.
And the details are just weird. She's barefoot in the snow.
And wearing this thin white dress, apparently soaked through, but somehow it still looked clean. Against all the mud and slush you'd expect.
It just doesn't track, does it? The description he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Pale, almost translucent skin.
Her head tilted at this really unnatural angle. And her eyes, he said they were just blank. Vacant. No life there at all.
Utterly unnerving. Did she say anything?
Do anything.
Nothing. No sound, no real movement, except, she pointed, slowly, deliberately, deeper into the woods.
Okay, wow. So everything about this screams wrong, danger.
Absolutely. Rationally, you'd turn and run, right?
Or at least be incredibly wary. But that's not what happened.
No. He said he felt this pull, an undeniable urge to follow where she was pointing, despite the fear, despite how utterly bizarre it all was.
That's fascinating, isn't it? That feeling of compulsion. It makes you wonder about the psychological state, the isolation, maybe suggestibility.
Could be. Or maybe something else was at play. Because as he starts moving, following her direction...
Let me guess, things get weirder.
Oh yeah, fog. But not like normal fog rolling in gradually. He said it just descended, suddenly. Thick, gray, completely disoriented.
Like a switch was flipped.
Exactly. One minute he could see the trees he knew, the next, everything was swallowed up. The landscape felt alien, twisted. Snow suddenly seemed deeper, harder to move through. He lost all sense of direction, instantly. So the environment itself becomes hostile. Almost like it's reflecting his internal state, his confusion and fear.
Or actively contributing to it. It really ramps up that sense of unreality,
you know?
Hard to know what's real and what's just panic or disorientation.
And he's following this silent, pointing figure into this sudden fog.
Huh.
What happens next? Does he catch up to her?
He never says he did. The next thing he remembers is waking up.
Waking up? Where?
Face down in a frozen ditch. He was injured, freezing cold, could taste blood in his mouth, completely disoriented.
So he lost consciousness at some point.
Yeah.
Blacked out.
Seems like it. And when he came to, his rifle was gone.
Gone. Just vanished.
Vanished. No sign of it. And his compass. He found it nearby, but it was useless.
How so?
Smashed. The glass was cracked. The needle shattered. Broken.
Wow. Okay, so losing the rifle is bad enough. That's his protection, his tool.
Mm.
But the compass.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
The shattered compass feels really symbolic, doesn't it? It's not just broken equipment. It's like losing your bearings in a much deeper sense. No direction, no way back to the known world.
Severed.
Severed. That's a good word for it. And if that wasn't enough, there was something else.
Yes, come on. What else?
On a tree right near the ditch where he woke up, someone had carved something into the bark.
A message.
Yeah. Three words.
You were already mine.
Okay. That's in the chill down your spine. You were already mine.
Right. It's incredibly disturbing.
It's the possessiveness of it. It's not like I'm coming for you or get out. It implies ownership, a prior claim.
Like the whole encounter wasn't random. Like it was somehow fated, predetermined.
Exactly. Like he walked into something that was already waiting for him, something that already considered him theirs. It's deeply unsettling.
And naturally, the locals in Vâlcea Stromba, they had their own ideas about who or what the woman might have been.
There's always folklore, isn't there?
Yeah.
Especially in places like that. Old communities with deep woods.
Mm-hmm. There are these old stories, whispers, really, about a bride.
a bride.
Yeah, who supposedly died in those same woods years and years ago, caught in a terrible storm while she was waiting for her husband, or maybe her fiancé. The story varies a bit.
Tragic. And they think her spirit is still there?
That's the legend. That she haunts the woods, full of sorrow, maybe anger. Some versions say she's looking for her lost love. Others say, maybe seeking retribution.
So the classic woman in white trope, but tied specifically to that location.
Right. And this is where it gets complicated. You have the hunter's account, the physical details, the injuries, the missing rifle, the broken compass.
Real tangible things.
But you also have this powerful local legend, this narrative framework that already exists. How much did that influence what he experienced, or at least how he interpreted it?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The interplay between folklore and psychology. Was he primed by these stories?
Yeah.
Did growing up hearing about the tragic bride make him see a spectral figure when, perhaps?
Perhaps what? What else could it have been?
Well, that's just it. It's hard to say. Extreme stress, hypothermia, isolation. They can do strange things to perception. Could the figure have been a hallucination triggered by the environment and his own fear, filtered through the lens of local lore?
It's possible, I guess, but it doesn't fully explain everything. The feeling of compulsion, following her before the fog and disorientation really set in.
True. And the physical aftermath. The injuries aren't imagined, the compass didn't shatter itself.
And the carving, you were already mine. Hallucinations don't usually carve messages into trees.
No, they don't. That physical element, the message, is the hardest part to dismiss purely psychologically. It grounds the strangeness in something concrete.
So you're left in this really uncomfortable gray area. Is it a vengeful spirit literally claiming him? Is it a complex psychological event interacting with local beliefs? Something else entirely.
And that ambiguity is precisely what makes stories like this endure. They resist easy answers.
What about that message, though? Let's circle back to You Were Already Mine. What are the implications there beyond just general creepiness?
Well, like we touched on, it suggests inevitability. Maybe it implies that entering those woods, under those conditions, meant he was already susceptible, already claimed by whatever force resides there, spirit or otherwise.
Or maybe it refers to something older, a connection he wasn't aware of.
Could be. Or perhaps it's simply the entity asserting its power, its dominion. The woods belong to it, and anyone entering is potentially subject to its will. The lack of clarity is what makes it terrifying. It can mean so many different dreadful things.
So this hunter, he goes out for a normal day of tracking.
And comes back, fundamentally changed, injured, missing his gear, but carrying this haunting memory and this deeply disturbing message.
It's a really stark reminder, isn't it? That there are experiences, encounters that just, they defy our neat explanations. They leave you with questions you can't answer.
Absolutely. And the lingering effect on him, you mentioned he's still haunted by it.
The account says he continued to see the woman in his sleep years later.
That speaks volumes about the trauma, the psychological scar tissue left behind. Whether it was a ghost, a hallucination, or something else, the experience was profoundly real and damaging for him.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about the edges of our understanding, the things that lurk in the quiet places, and maybe the claims that might already be laid upon us without us even knowing.
That's the truly chilling thought to leave things on, perhaps. The idea that you might already belong to something else. A very unsettling notion.